Seated. Around 1973, my mom and dad, or maybe my dad, I don't remember who, purchased a CT70 Honda motorcycle, which is like a dirt bike. Now, it wasn't like the, it didn't have the rough and rugged look of a dirt bike, but it was like a trail bike. And where I lived as a kid growing up, we lived right on the school property. The high school and the grade school, 24 acres or something like that. And other kids in the neighborhoods that surrounded there, they had motorcycles. And for 3 or 4 years, that was my life. I mean, when I wasn't working, I would hop on my motorcycle and ride around to my friends. We would follow each other. Sometimes we would race. But when I first got it, and I'm not an evil Knievel, but I am a risk taker. Now, what's the difference? A risk taker would stick his foot in his mouth, but he wouldn't jump off a cliff real quick, okay? So kind of giving you the difference. So it on this property between the grade school and the high school was a really steep hill that went up probably 30 or 40 yards. And I hope I'm getting the measurements right, but it was a really steep hill, and that's where there was a trail, and the guys on the big, bad dirt bikes would go up it, and, you know, they'd jump 10, 12 foot, and then they'd land. I mean, it'd be maybe from here to Scotty. Well, my little trail bike, you know, I'd seen people go up there, but I'd not done it yet. I just got the motorcycle, and I had a friend of mine. He said, "You can do that, Rick." Like, I don't know. Now, I went over on the side part, Brother Lee, that wasn't as steep, and you just gently got off the ground and landed. That was good, but I wasn't Evel Knievel. But they finally told me, said, "Now, look, if you're going to do this, you can't get halfway up, because if you get halfway up, it was steep enough to where you couldn't stop and do anything else. And you couldn't turn because you probably would flip or something." And he told me, he said, "All you got to do is just keep going and try to pick up speed as you're going up." So I'm about from here to the door, and he said, "You need to back up." I thought, "Why do I need to back up? I don't want to go that fast." He said, "If you don't go fast enough, you won't make it." That kind of concerned me. But I got back far enough. He said, "Now take off." Of course, I didn't give it all the gas. But finally, I went up it that first time, and it seemed like I jumped 5 foot up in the air and 10 or 15 feet forward, which was probably not that far. But within a week or two, I was 100 yards back. Whom! I mean, giving it everything I had and jumping it as hard as I could, because why? I'd gotten some confidence. I want to talk to you today about, as odd as this may seem, the exciting Christian life. A lot of us have got our little CT70 trail bikes. And we're watching other people do great things for God, and we're just not sure we want to do it. I'm here to tell you that it's more exciting doing it that way than what some people do it. Now, I don't think Cole's got my outline. You got it? Oh, he's back there half asleep. But anyway, my first point this morning, or first thing I want to mention to you, what is normal Christian life like? Y'all know my Bible stuff's up there. Don't worry about that. We'll get to the Bible later on. We ain't worried about no Bible. What's it like right now? What's your normal Christian? What's the normal Christian life today, Brother Bill? What do you got to do to live it?
Bible, God's Word.
He's a deacon, and it took him 3 or 4 seconds to come up. All right. What about some other stuff? We're not talking about the difficulty. What do? Witness to others. Go to church. What is it?
Praise God.
Praise God. Everyday life. Huh?
Pray.
Read God's Word. Y'all already doing that, right? See, most of the stuff we're doing are things that we should be doing, Anybody got anything else before I go up here and look at my notes and make sure I don't forget something? What is it? Got to love people. Okay? Now, let me ask you the next question, and that's not on my notes. I'm still going off memory. Is any of that stuff that y'all mentioned stuff that has to be Spirit-led? I can read my Bible without God prompting me to read my Bible. I should pray, right, Brother Bill? I should be at church when we have church. I mean, the Bible tells me, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. I mean, you can read it, Hebrews 10:25. I know that everybody goes, well, but that means I ain't going to be here tonight, and he's talking about me. Yeah, it is. I used to be that guy, but I'm just here to tell you, there's a lot of things that we do that are just plain, ordinary church Christian life, and they're not bad things. Now, let me run through my list. Now, most of y'all are going to fit in this, right? Most of you got saved sometime along the way, I hope. And then you got baptized. Salvation is exciting, right? And then baptism should be a moment when everybody comes and sees you give that outward profession of the inward confession or salvation that is within you. Then we start attending church. Then we try to do good. And then Brother Bill hopes you put something in the box going out the door, a tithe or an offering. Those are all things we should be doing, right? Some go to or come to Sunday school. Some, for whatever strange reason, don't. Tim, y'all know Tim Garner. He's our Sunday school superintendent. He should have said, amen, preacher, preach it, right there, right? For some reason, we don't. I don't get it. But I better move on, right? Those that didn't like that should have said amen right there. But anyway, some of us read our Bible. Very few of us witness, really. I mean, we really have a burden to witness to people. We pray most of the times. It's when we really need something, not on a daily devoted measure. And a lot of us will participate and help in Vacation Bible School. And that's a good thing. Few of us will go on mission trips. Few of us will. Now, I'm talking today about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about walking in the Spirit. If you've been on any of the Wednesday night studies, you'll know kind of where this message come from, because ever since I've been at Bradley's and ever since I've been at any church, I don't see very many people, even myself, that can truly say that they're walking in the Spirit. And I'm talking about people that are in church. I'm talking about people that are giving. I'm talking about people that are involved. I'm talking about people that are going to Sunday school. I'm talking about people that are good people. I'm talking about those kind of people. Because the two accounts I'm going to give you this morning, I ain't got there yet, but are going to reveal to you that here's a Christian man, a missionary. He needed the Holy Spirit to show him where he was going to go. Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, y'all do know they watch those videos. I got started late, okay? So don't count on me getting done on time this morning. Help me out here, somebody. I seen 20 till when I got up, Jace. That's 15 minutes past where I normally get to get up. Didn't start church until about 5 or 10 minutes after. So don't count. Don't look at 12 and think that's when I'm going to get done. I'm going to do my best, Tim, but I ain't guaranteeing it. Verse number 1 of chapter 8 of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who what? Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, that's kind of the context of my message. I want you to follow with me these next verses here. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, get this verse, to be carnally minded, which is to be fleshly minded, is death. We've been studying that in chapter 6 and 7 on Wednesday nights. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh, get this, cannot please God. That is my verses that kind of gets me started. Now, I want to state this. Most of God's people, and some, I would even say maybe some pastors, preachers, don't fully understand the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I would even go so far as to say your pastor this morning, standing here to this morning, has more to learn about the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But I can say this, I think I have a general understanding. It is surrendering yourself to God's leadership and then accepting it when He reveals it to you. That makes sense? Very few of us are willing to do that. Now most of us have never really been, let me say it this way, because I think that even here in most churches, there have been people that have been led by the Holy Spirit. They just didn't realize it was happening at the time. Okay? So I can't say that never happens. But as a whole, as a life, as a person that would surrender to God's will, have they, after their salvation, after their baptism, after they go to church, tithe, do all that stuff that we already talked about, how many of them has had God direct the path for their life, and even give them the profession of their life to God, and then allow God, if He speaks to them, to alter or change that course as they go along the way. I can say that, and I'm not 100%er, but I can tell you this, that I was happy doing lawn care full-time. I started at UPS, worked part-time. I was happy doing that. Until God started knocking on me. Of course, He'd already been dealing with me. And that's when the day that I surrendered to preach, that's why my son walked up to me and said, "Are you happy now?" And he kind of said it sarcastically. But you know, I see people here at Bradley's that seem to have something they're wrestling with on the inside. I don't know what it is. I'm not even trying to. I don't have a little diary at home, okay, that say, "Brother Tim really seemed uneasy this morning. I think." I don't have that, Angie. But I do pray for different people from time to time that I sense that God is just, it could be in a positive, maybe I feel like they're burdened with something. Maybe I know that there's a need there. Maybe God has spoken to me. But here's the thing. Paul, the writer of Romans, we're going to read about him this morning. We're going to see how he was called, how he was directed, and all that stuff. But I still think that even if I prove my case this morning with you, you will have a hard time agreeing to it. So I've decided, ready? To have a on-site volunteer to give us a demonstration of finding God's will. Okay? Let's see. Ella, can I have your Bible case? How come you ain't got your Bible out and open? Just saying. You should have it out and reading it. Now, yeah, just stop him right there. No, no, wait. Could you take it off of him just for a second? Sorry. This right here is Ella's Bible. For you, it's going to represent God's will for your life, okay? Now, don't put it on yet. And I'm going to put it right over here. Okay? You see it? All right. You want to find God's will for your life, okay? I hope. But this is what you're looking for, okay? It's right here, all right? Okay. See, I hope that most of y'all here today would want to do God's will. And the purpose of this demonstration is there ain't one person that's here today can see with their own human eyes and with their own human heart. You can't find God's will, not in a million years. No, just stay right there. No. You just stay right there. You're blind. But I want you to hear me. Listen to me. There's not any of you all here this morning with your own thinking, your own visual, your own... There's none of you, not me, there's no pastor in America or in the world that can find the Holy Spirit that way. It has to. You get my drift here. It has to be given by God. And it has to be surrendered to and obeyed 100%. Now here's the thing I got to ask Eli. Eli, you trust me? Now in this account, if you're all not figuring that out, I am representing, and I'm not, the Holy Spirit of God that's going to direct his spiritual life. Because in this life, folks, really you're blindfolded to what God's will is unless you're listening. Now, I want you to remember something. The Holy Spirit is God. Okay? The Holy Spirit is God. It's co-equal with God, co-equal with Jesus. It's the agent that's working here. The Holy Spirit is a He. You can see that in John 16, 13, and 14. You can read it for yourself. The Holy Spirit is the same as God, the same as Jesus. It's just active in a different way. It's here on earth today. It's indwelling all the believers. Every believer. Sorry to have you stay there so long, Eli, but I needed to prep a little bit more, okay? I'm trying to get him disoriented. Would you turn this way for just a second? Just stay right there, okay? Just look towards the door, okay? Yes, he's thinking. And hey, did you get what he said? He already thinks he knows where he's looking. See, he's feeling. Hey, he's trying to use his own senses as well. You're helping my illustration all the more. We cannot do that if we want to find God's will. Now, Eli, now you trust me?
Yes.
That I'm not going to hurt you or anything, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to kind of just see how well you can pay attention first, okay? And we're going to sit in a chair in just a minute, and I'm going to try to do this real quick. But if I could get you to turn to your left. Turn again. Turn again. Okay, not quite so much. All right, could you take a step or two for me? No. Whoa. Just remember, just a couple steps is all you need to take right there. Just stare there. Now, could you turn to your right? He's having trouble remembering his right from his... A little bit more. All right, take a couple steps for me. All right. Now, so you're still looking for God's will, I hope, right?
Yeah.
And you still remember where it's at?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you're closer to it now than you were?
I think so.
All right, I want you to turn to your left. Whoa, not that much. Whoa, right there. I want you to take some steps forward. Just keep coming a little bit. All right, that's stopped. Another step. Whoa, right there. Now I'd like for you to turn to your left. And a little bit more. Now I put a chair behind you. You trust me? I didn't tell you to sit down. See, here's the thing. If you're going to follow the Holy Spirit, you got to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now I want you to just take your hand and feel that chair behind you and have a seat. Oh, there we go. Now, do you think you're closer to God's will now than you were?
Yes.
Okay, stand up. Turn to your right. Walk forward. Come on. Go ahead, 4 or 5 steps. There's nothing in front of you. Walk fast. Well, stop. Dad, do you think you're closer?
I'm still hearing it.
Would you turn to your left again? All right, take a step.
I'm
not. You trust me, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you hit anything. Turn to your right. He's still trying to a little bit more. Take a step forward. Okay, now put your hand out. A little higher. Now I want you to know, Eli, right there is where God's will was. Why do you think it's moved on you? Because God's will sometimes changes for our life. I'd like for you to turn to your right. Okay? Now, hang on just a second. Is it your purse? Miss Barb's. Can I borrow it? Sure. A little bit more to your right. Not quite that much. Now, I want you to take a real short step forward. A little bit more. Now, I've set Miss Barb's phone. I've set her purse right in front of you. Don't kick it. But what I want you to do, and I'm going to be here in case you get wobbled, but I want you to take a high step and kind of a long step, longer than you have, to step over top of it, okay? Very good. Very good. Very good. I'll give him a hand for that one. Yeah. Now, do you think you're closer to God's will now than you were? Why are you feeling?
I'm making sure I know where I'm at.
Okay, would you like to find the will of God?
Yes.
Turn a little bit to your right. Not much. Not, there you go. Take some steps forward. Another one. Stop. Put your hands out.
Oh, hey. I'm back where I started, ain't I?
Would you take your blindfold off and see if you're back where you started?
Oh, no.
Would you take that and give it to Ella, and you can have a seat. Give him a hand, everybody. Did you get that? Now, if we'd have had a bigger, or we could have really took him around, but he thought there for a minute he was getting closer, and I moved it on him. And again, I think that's what happens in our lives. And for teenagers and for adults, all of us, we need to keep some principles that we just seen played out right there. He kept wanting to fill out and see Angie where he was at. The danger in our Christian life is we want to do the same thing. God wants us to trust him. When he asks us to go, go. And when he tells us to stop, he wants us to stop. You say, Rick, that's not very much fun. I'm here to tell you that it's the most exciting life you'll ever live. I'm going to tell you what it beats. Y'all ready for this? Some of the doldrum that we see in churches today. I'll let that soak in for just a second. Because I don't think you all get that. Now, I got 4 points, and I'm going to scare you to death right now. Let me give you my second point. And I know what some of you's thinking. You're thinking the roast is going to burn or something, but these points are going to go quick. But I got to give them. Eli did a great job. He revealed to us some of our fleshly behaviors that don't need to be in the process of finding God's will. But I want you to remember it because it can get there and we need to make sure we understand it. The next thing I want you to know, the Holy Spirit, folks, is a game changer. Now, I know what most of y'all are thinking. When I say the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, you may be thinking of some charismatic something where maybe you've seen a video where people are running around the church. Maybe I've seen them jump into baptisms or baptistries. Jump out, run around, and do all that stuff. And I'm going to tell you, based on scriptures, 99% of that stuff is not the work of the Holy Spirit. You may have some friends, and look, I've got my own faults I'm trying to work through, but I'm here to tell you, if you're a lot of people in the Baptist churches, and this is why I say, is your Christian life exciting? A lot of people in the Baptist church that end up going to another church, and namely a contemporary church, they're looking for some more excitement or some more emotional stuff happening. That's what they're looking for. We if you sit down and think of the people that's come here and the ones that are not here, you can think of they were searching for something. They weren't looking for the Holy Spirit. They were looking for something that would suit their kids better. They get more out of it, something. They were looking for something like that. Now, is Bradley's Pleasure a perfect church? No. Is Bradley's Pleasure the church for everybody? No. Is their pastor perfect? No. But I'm here to tell you, folks, we need to understand if we will find and desire the will of God, it will be through the walking in the Spirit. Now, again, I wanted to get that out. But the Holy Spirit is a game changer. And I've got to do a couple of definitions and then I'm going to move. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? First, what does it mean to walk? Eli did it, right? If he had stood over there and said, you know what, I'm going to wait until the will of God comes to me, would he have ever got it, Tim? Never in a million years. You're not ever going to get it until you walk and you try to progress. So it describes the way someone lives, the way that they strive for their life. In the New Testament, we've seen to walk in newness of life. We've seen not to walk after the flesh. Walk after the Spirit. Walk honestly. Walk as men. Walk by faith. Walk in good works. Walk worthy of the Lord. Don't walk in the vanity of your own mind. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. Walk to please God. Walk in the truth. What does it mean for someone to be spiritual? One who is filled with and governed by the Holy Spirit of God. Do you get that? To be spiritual is one who is filled with and governed by the Spirit of God. And again, I've already shared with you the Holy Spirit is God. Now, me and my wife, we haven't done a lot of traveling, but a lot of times we'd go somewhere, we didn't know where we was going, and before the age of iPhones, if we had a disagreement, Brother Bill, it was going to come up in the way that we got somewhere, most likely. She's over there shaking her head, and that's true, because I'm pretty easy to get along with, but when it comes to going somewhere, Tim, I like to know that in 5.2 miles, turn right. I don't want to hear, in a few miles, I think we make a right. How many men are with me right now? I mean, I like to know where I'm going. And iPhones and GPSs, oh, Lord. It saves some arguments. And, hey, because the phone can be wrong, and we're not throwing up, you know. Y'all know where I'm going. I don't even need to go there, right? Stop laughing, Angie. But look. But I call it GPS, and I come up with a new name, and I'm sure it's been given already. But what does GPS stand for? Anybody remember? Yeah, okay. So if we put God in the beginning of that, God's positional system. That's what the Holy Spirit is. So y'all didn't realize it, but we just went through point number two, and we're out here at point number three, and I need you to turn to Acts chapter 13. I wouldn't give a time, but I'm getting pretty close to the end of my message. in Acts chapter 13, follow with me quick and I'll finish quick. Be like running down the stretch at the Kentucky Derby. Now there were in the church at Antioch certain prophets, teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Naan, which were brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now I want to share with you just a few basic things that are very evident right here. They were based on the first part of verse 1. They are in the church. Get that? Now I'm not going to chase this rabbit, but I'm here to tell you that you cannot be a lone ranger and be a mission work, a true missionary as the Bible. Now you can do witnessing to people, but we see it over and over again how the church comes into play on mission work. Now that's not the main thing I wanted to share with you, but the second thing in verse number 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord. Second thing I want to tell you, they're getting ready to call some people out of the church, okay? And they are ministering. In other words, they're coming to church. They're coming to Bible study. They're coming to Sunday school. They're doing all that stuff, right? And then we see they fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, get that. Now, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same thing. Tanya, I've looked it up. They mean the same thing. Why? It's different in the Bible. Yeah, somebody's going to give me that answer. I don't know what it is. But what does it say? The Holy Ghost said. Now remember who the Holy Ghost is. It is God. Say it again. The Holy Ghost is God. And it is co-equal with God. And you can read in John 14, 15, and 16. And it'll describe. It's supposed to testify of Jesus Christ. It's not supposed to speak for itself. It's supposed to guide us in the truth. It's supposed to redo all this stuff. But it's got a specific job. And here, Kaylee, these guys are in this church, and all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to them and said, "Oh, Saul and Barnabas, you are set aside. I got a job for you." Now, I want you to think about here at Bradley's. We've seen, and he's sitting here this morning, Brother Mike Caudill. When I first come here, he was already under conviction to surrender to preach. And he surrendered to preach. He's been ordained. And he's went out and done a good work. Amen? We also had what I understood to be one of the first mission trips or mission groups sent out of this church. And there were several people that went. 18, wasn't it? And on the way back, I would say I heard at least 3 or 4 people say to me that I feel like the Lord wants me to go back and work with Brother Steve. Y'all swallow real good, the ones that went, because some of y'all are the ones that were saying and thinking some of that stuff, right? And I'm just asking, what happened to that? Was that the Holy Ghost or was that an emotional feeling? If it was an emotional feeling, you're good. But if it was a call by God, by the Holy Ghost, you better revisit that. I mean, I've kind of had that same feeling, and I'm not saying I got over it, but I realized that it was not God's will that I go to Belize. Brother Denny, one time, when I think the second time or third time come back, he said, "Well, we just know that you're getting ready to go to Belize." And I said, "Brother, I like and they even love the people in Belize, but I'm not feeling led by the Holy Spirit to go there." "Well, now we can tell you." And I told him, I said, that's not God's will. We got plane tickets bought to go to Belize, and we didn't get to go because of the COVID, and I'm still mad over it. Because I want to go. But that ain't a place that God's sending me. But moving on, God called these guys, and he even says there in verse 4, so they being sent forth by who? The church? The Holy Ghost departed. In other words, they're going instructed by the Holy Spirit. They're going empowered by the Holy Ghost. And they took off. Paul and Barnabas. They take off and they see people saved. They see churches established. And everything's going great. Paul in chapter 16, turn over there with me because this is where I'm going to end at. Chapter 16. Paul is ready to go and start preaching somewhere and the Holy Spirit says, stop preaching. Now, Brother Roger, if God tells me to stop preaching, I'm going to have a little bit of a problem with that. I didn't say I was going to disobey him, okay? And what I say, when I say problem, that's going to send me to the, if you want, I'm just using this in my prayer closet to say, Lord, am I hearing you right? Okay? We got a good thing going here, Paul and Barnabas. They got, or actually now it's Paul and Silas. But look here in verse number 5, chapter 16. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in numbers daily. Isn't that what we think is a great church? Churches growing in numbers? Right, let's look, see what else it says. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, the Holy Spirit, Eli, can take God's will from on top of the organ, jokingly, and take it and put it right over here. But he's not going to leave you in the dark. When you got over here, it forbids you to have a piece of the will of God, but it redirected you and took you to God's will. And remember this, it's always going to be true for your whole life. It's going to be true for my whole life. Now, I pray quite often, probably at least once a week, Lord, am I where I need to be? And I'm talking about at Bradley's. I'm talking about the whole nine yards. But you know, I got to really be careful, Jace, because in the back of my mind, I remember the story that I've told y'all time and time again that I prayed that I'd do whatever you asked me to do, Lord. And you know the answer to that story, don't you? I wasn't doing it, was I? I got to remember that. Why? Because I'm just like Eli was. I was reaching. I was wanting something tangible in my mind. I hope this is getting through to y'all because I tell you this, for me to revisit this week has been important. Now look on down verse 7. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them. Here they have been stopped preaching. They get ready to go somewhere and God says, stop! And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas and a vision appeared to Paul in the night and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after that, and after he had seen the vision immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord hath called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, I got to ask y'all a question. I'm done. Don't that sound a lot more exciting than just sitting in a pew and enduring a message? Wouldn't you rather, Tanya, have the Holy Spirit speaking to you and say, I want you to stop doing this and go here, rather than keep coming to church and getting the same amount of nothing or what little bit you're getting? I'm asking you, is your Christian life exciting? Think about how exciting Paul's was. Paul was walking along one day doing what he felt was right, and all of a sudden, God said, no, I ain't going to let you do it. Okay, I'll just keep it. No, don't want you to go there. And God, Paul's like, where? And God, the Holy Spirit, spoke straight to him, Paul, and told him exactly what he needed to do. And you know what happened after that? There was a woman at a river named Lydia was praying, and Paul come and shared the word of God, and she got saved. They went into that city. He and Silas got arrested. They got put in stocks. They were singing and praising God and praying, and the earthquake come, and the jailer got saved. His family got saved. A church was established, and there's a book in the Bible all about it. Why? Because Paul led an exciting Christian life. Let's all stand. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, I do pray that we as God's people would see the excitement of being led by your Spirit to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll sing.